Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us or bring up whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And I'm just going to go straight to your phone calls and thoughts. We have Tim in Florida. Tim, what's on your mind?
Oh, man, I didn't know I was next up. The last caller was comparing the police to, the armed forces of a hostile government. And the first thing that came to my mind was Netanyahu and the United States funding Hamas and arming Hamas. And now Netanyahu is declaring revenge as a virtue.
Who is that? Can you remind me who that is?
Netanyahu is the prime minister of Israel, kind of like the top dog over there.
So yeah, isn't it interesting? Like, it sounds like, you know, the United States government is funding Hamas and Israel both at the same time.
Correct.
Right, and I agree with Tom's interpretation of the cops in that way. I mean, the federal government is a foreign body to New Hampshire invading and, taking people's boyfriends away and things like that. So I don't really see what the difference is.
Yeah, I mean, so the parody is they're destroying lives, right? Like they destroyed your life and Ian's life together, and they destroyed Ian's life for however long they keep him in prison. At the same time, meanwhile, Israel, you know, the state of Israel, this is not a comment on anyone who is Jewish by religion or considers themselves Jewish by genetics or whatever. I don't even know what it means. I don't care what it means. All I know is there's actually an Auschwitz survivor, and I'll have to call back with his name, but there's an Auschwitz survivor that recently made a comment and said that the state of Israel is behaving like 1930s Germany.
Wow.
Hmm. That's interesting.
That's really interesting.
And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to drop off because I've been experiencing a lot of emotions and I really can't process too much more.
Well, thank you so much.
You have a good night.
Tim, have a good night.
Thanks for sharing. I know it is like a very, I don't know exactly what kind of emotions he's talking about, but it is like specific to the topic. I mean, it is very, it's a lot. It's a lot heavy stuff.
It's really heavy stuff. It's a lot of emotion to carry. It feels like our day and age right now is a very heavy, violent time.
Yeah.
We're moving through a lot of emotion. A lot of transition is occurring, and it's just really
more bad things could happen. Bad things could start happening here in the United States.
Yep.
To more innocent people.
I tried looking up the Holocaust survivor that he's talking about, and I can't find it.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting if we could find that.
Yeah.
Maybe
he might remember the name and call in sometime, but one thing I did want to say is, luckily, the government tried, but they have not destroyed Ian and I's lives. Like, they're actually, killing other people.
Yeah, I was thinking that was a little dramatic. But, obviously, like, it has really impaired your life. I mean,
yeah.
Uprooted, I think, would be a good word.
Right.
Destroy is a little,
I just want to point out that, Ian is literally still in good spirits, laughing, mm-hmm. being silly Ian, and happy. And it's... it's to the point where most people who are just in there for like a year are in such way worse spirits than Ian.
Mm-hmm.
I think that speaks a lot about Ian's character. Like, he's
right.
Yeah.
Like, he's still in good spirits. He's not feeling like the world's out to get him.
And it's truly what it means to be free in your own mind.
Yeah, and I do like to kind of spread that message of freedom starts from within. Like, it starts in your mind.
Yeah.
If you're, like, and I know it's hard because, you know, like, life is really heavy. Like, depression, all those things are very legit. Anxiety, stuff like that. But those are things that we have control over, and, like, we can work through that stuff. And, like, if you're, as a human, like, stuck in, like, depression and anxiety and, like, a lot of those things. And
victim
being
mentality.
Victimized. Yeah, like, being victimized by your emotions and by, you know, your trauma and things that have happened to you. Like, you're never going to be truly free. I think once we can heal ourselves from within and kind of, you know, like, start to work through a lot of that stuff, we can become truly free individuals no matter the circumstance. And we can help other people achieve that same thing.
You know, Nikki, I agree with you. And, you know, doing the emotional work and the physical work to get through these emotions and work through them all is so difficult at times.
Yeah,
because,
right.
You know, from birth or whatever, we've been, I guess, programmed or domesticated, mm-hmm. as Don Miguel Ruiz would put it in his book, The Four Agreements. I don't know if anyone...
Yeah, I love that
yeah,
book.
Yeah, I've read
yep.
it too.
So
I'll listen to it.
We've been domesticated as humans to dream a certain dream of the planet, a dream of the world, and we've been domesticated to experience all this trauma, all this stuff, and we just continue to traumatize ourselves over and over again, and yet we still got to do the work.
Yeah.
This is what working with plant medicines is all about and should be all about, is working through the work. And it's challenging when you start waking up to all this stuff that, oh, no, I've got all this stuff inside me that's really, really bogging me down. And I have to work through it. And it's really challenging sometimes.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I try not, you know, I try to be, like, very, like, optimistic. And, you know, like, when I say things like that, like, oh, no, like, you have the power to do all these things,
right.
And, like, all these this work. And I don't want to downplay, like, what people are going through. With, like, a lot of my patients, like, even as a nurse, like, I'm not a therapist, so we're not, like, super deep diving it. But I will, like, just, like, talk with people, and, like, a lot of the people, like, I work with, the things that have happened to them are unimaginable to me.
Yes.
And I'm like, I have not experienced, like, thankfully, I have not experienced that level of trauma in my life that even some people do as, like, young children. And it's horrifying, and it's really sad. So I don't want to downplay, like, some of the thing. Like, I'm not saying it's easy, but, like, I just think, like, I'm really proud of people who are actively taking the steps to become a better person and to work through their trauma and, you know, to like, work on their emotional regulation skills. And, like, because it is a lot of work, and it's hard, but it is possible. And I think some people get, like, really bogged down by it, and they're like, well, you know, I'm just going to become a drug addict or an alcoholic or a food addict or, like, whatever. Like, people are going to bury their trauma with all of these distractions because they're so prevalent in our society.
Yeah,
like,
and it's easy to do. It's easy to bury the emotional pain with distractions.
Yeah, there's,
like,
so many options.
Being a workaholic,
yeah,
or drugs or
even Netflix,
yep.
And
yeah,
scrolling on social media.
Social,
you know,
media,
what I mean? Like,
right.
There are so many options to distract yourself
from your life. Right.
Exactly, like, to distract yourself and to confront some of those things, especially if it's, like, deep-seated childhood trauma or, like, really horrific things that have happened to,
yeah,
people. To be able to confront that and work through that, that is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just like to kind of, like, let people know, like, it is possible. Like, it won't always be easy, but, like, you can truly, like, be free within yourself no matter what has happened to you in the past and no matter what is, like, happening to you currently. Like, it is possible.
Yeah, and a lot of people will get really annoyed when you say that, but it's just because people really don't want their life problems to be their own fault, and that sounds like
or their responsibility to like work through, right?
Right, like,
yeah,
things that happen to you aren't necessarily
like
your
to be
fault.
Victims, yeah.
But not doing anything because you know, to, like, you know, get ahead in life because, well, this thing happened to me and that's why I ended up in this situation. Isn't that, like, really sad? And I should just focus
on
that forever.
Well, another good example, like in the like, rhetoric of mental illness, like, especially depression, like, it's a chemical imbalance of the brain, right?
Yeah, that's not
so
true.
It kind of is, like, hyper-medicalizing a lot of these mental illnesses, which are totally legit. I mean, like, depression is totally real.
Absolutely.
But it's hyper-medicalizing it, so it's like, no, this is something in your physiology biology. This is something in your anatomy. It's genetic, whatever. There's nothing you can do about it. So, like, here's some pills. And I feel like that's part of the propaganda
of training.
The pharmaceutical company and of the medical industrial complex. And a lot of doctors, like, they don't know any better. So I don't think they're trying to, like, murder people and sabotage people right. And, like, just be drug pushers. But, and a lot of people don't want to do the work, so it's easier just to take Lexapro or Zoloft or whatever than to really work through your stuff.
It's so deep.
You know what I mean?
We, ingrained into pharmaceutical companies' culture to lie to people that they have no control over their
health. Yeah, they're powerless.
There are even, commercials I was listening to, Becoming Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza yesterday, and he was describing how commercials will put spells over you to tell you that your body and health have to be a certain way. And
mm-hmm.
he was telling this one that was a commercial for some kind of medicine for shingles, and it literally says there were a couple different variations of it that he described, but it literally tells you, like, as you get older, your immune system is going to weaken and the virus is already inside you, that you are extremely susceptible.
Yeah, like, what crazy programming. And it's like, that's not necessarily true. Like, you can totally strengthen your immune system as you get older through, mm-hmm. like, diet and exercise and different lifestyle changes. I mean, it's just like, this, like, propaganda that we're weak and that we don't have the power to heal ourselves. And mm-hmm. as you get older, you're just going to get, like, old and decrepit and sick. Like, that's all BS. Like, that is not legit. I mean, looking at, like, certain blue zones in the world, like, you'll see, like, people who are, like, 105 years old, and they're in better shape than some of, like, the obese diabetic children in the United States, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So my girlfriend Alana decided to go off some of her medication she was on because she wanted to be more natural in her cycles or whatever, and I'm really proud of her for that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I went off of, like, it's going to sound like a not very big deal after this conversation we're having, but I went off of Zyrtec 2 years ago because I was hearing all this stuff about Pfizer for the vaccines, the mm-hmm. COVID vaccines, and I saw on the side of the pill that said it was made by Pfizer, and I was like, wait. And I just looked up the side effects, and I was like, this isn't even worth it, and I just started using honey.
Yeah.
And I don't deal with the allergies that I used to deal with.
I've heard a lot of people say similar things, that, like, using local honey
is
like
hard to get
like raw
first,
local honey,
but,
and it takes a while for your body to acclimate, but even, like, you know, you're like, oh, it's not really that big of a deal, right? But for people who are taking any sort of pill, like, daily, like, even if it's Tylenol, like, a lot of this stuff that seems really harmless, they do have effects on our body, and some of the side effects, they're not immediate. You know, some medications do have immediate side effects that are, you know, very not great. But some of them, especially if you're, like, taking it over time and it's kind of like the toxicity is building up in your body, slowly over time, that absolutely does affect, like, our overall health. I mean, I think even, like, little things like that, like, oh, it's just like, it's just an allergy med, or, it's just Tylenol, or whatever. You know, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but I think it does, you know. I think it is, like, taking steps like that, I think, is great.
So one of the best things I did for myself was going through therapy. And I did that back in 2016, 2017. And, you know, mm-hmm. at some point, I probably will want to visit a therapist again to work through some other things. And
yeah,
I think it's healthy to want to talk to
them. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I think having someone to, like, sift through your thoughts and your experiences with, I think that can be absolutely incredibly beneficial
for
people.
Especially if you don't feel like you have anyone around that you want to talk to these things, or talk to about these things. And the whole thing with Ian, I think that it's there's, like, a secondary benefit to Ian not being miserable about being in prison. Well, he's in jail right now, but he's going to be in prison. And it's just that the government does not win what they want. They're not getting what they want. And that lady, those old ladies who are going to take money from him in December, aren't getting what they want. He's not miserable. His life goes on. And
he also doesn't have a guilty conscience, which is, like, really incredible.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
I think that's huge.
People who are bad people every day, they live life with a guilty conscience.
And I think also having, like, the intellect to be able to, like, understand what's going on in the situation. So, like, Ian knew that he was innocent and he knew that he didn't do anything wrong. Like, he was able to, like, to be conscious enough to understand what was going on. I've heard of some people who are like, oh, well, you know, I got raided by the feds and, you know, they brought all these charges on me. So, like, I must have done something wrong. Like, the only reason why they think that they are a criminal or that they did something wrong is because of the response, the feds don't make mistakes, so I must be a bad person. And it's hard for me to kind of fathom, but like a lot of people kind of have that perspective in their mind. It's like they're so insecure within themselves and their own beliefs that like you should know if you're doing right or wrong. With, like, regardless of any outside intervention,
people,
you know what I mean?
Can be so influenced by other people's opinions in that way. There's this woman I like to listen to sometimes on YouTube. I don't always agree with her, but she's interesting and she researches things really hard. And her name is Sonia, and her channel is Truther Girls. Like, I found her because she's talking about colloidal silver. And she apparently is very autistic. And she said that when she was a teenager, she was very weird, and autism wasn't a huge thing, especially yeah. with women, so she wasn't prescribed yet. She was really weird, and, like, somebody told her that they, like, assumed she was a drug addict, and because of that, she assumed she should become a drug addict. I know that sounds so weird. Like, it doesn't make sense logically, but that's just how my brain works. Because people thought yeah. I was a drug addict, I decided I should become one.
Yeah, it's almost like when people are treating you a certain way, you almost, like, kind of become that. It's like, well, if you already think I am, then I might as well
yeah.
should be. And obviously, like, in your brain at the time, like, it's not so clear-cut. It's not, like, so black and white. Because mm-hmm. anybody would be like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
But it's, like, that programming kind of, like, everyone treats me this way, so now I'm starting to become this way.
This all goes right back to what you were saying about people believing that life is not under their control and
yes.
their health is not under their control just because they've been told their whole lives, oh, well, your genes control everything. Mm-hmm. There's no way to turn anything around. Oh, if your grandpa died from cancer, you're susceptible to it.
Yeah.
They haven't learned about epigenetics because that's suppressed in science in colleges and stuff like that. Less and less so now, but it was definitely...
Yeah, I think it's... I was under the impression that epigenetics was like a new-ish... Science.
So was I. I had
new.
A psychology professor back when I was doing college a few years ago actually talked about epigenetics. So I know it's being talked about.
But I get like a lot of, well, and this is the issue. So like a lot of doctors, especially like a lot of primary care providers or whatever, they're not even taught nutrition, and that's like huge when it comes to health. But also, they're not, like, if you went to medical school 30, 40 years ago, and that is all, like, your medical knowledge, I mean, like, a lot of these old doctors are so, like, their information is so out of date.
Yeah.
Some doctors are good, and they'll, like, constantly want to be, like, researching things and learning new things, but typically it's just like, nope, this is what I'm taught, like, they're ingrained in their ways, they're like, no, this is how it is. I'm analyzing your symptoms, and because that's what you're taught in medical school. You treat the symptoms, and then once you reframe that to maybe a more like functional style doctor or holistic doctor, where it's like, no, I'm not going to treat the symptom. Like, your symptoms is your body trying to communicate a message with you. The symptom isn't the problem. The symptom is the message, and to reflect that, to treat the whole body and the whole person, to be able to heal everything that you are and not just mask symptoms. I mean, that is how we truly heal, but it's like, medical doctors aren't taught that. Like, that's not what their purpose is, really. So I think when we're going to a lot of these people for answers, it's like, they don't even have any clue. They don't know what epigenetics is. Like, that's not their specialty. You
right.
know what I mean?
A lot of doctors, they still believe, basically the whole thing that genes control your life. And a lot of people will tell you things like, oh, you should go get yourself tested to see what genes you're carrying.
Yeah, so I can manifest that for myself?
Right.
Yeah, no thanks.
Well,
I am kind of being a little facetious about it, I guess. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
But maybe if you knew about something that wasn't good, you would be able to change it. Most people, they're going to find out about something bad and be like, well, now I can't have kids. They
won't have it. They're like, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, people manifest it, and it's like, well, you know, my father died of diabetes, so I'm just destined to get it. Instead of being like, maybe I should eat better. you know what I mean? Like, and sometimes knowing like things you're predisposed to is beneficial. But I think overall, if you just work on, I mean, I think, you know, like diet and exercise and lifestyle, like, isn't a one size fits all thing for people.
Sure.
But I think
especially if you're a picky eater, maybe find ways to mitigate your
supplement or make it your lists or whatever.
But I think, like, typically things that are unhealthy are unhealthy for, like, smoking, alcohol, drugs, sugar, car, like, whatever. Like, those things are, like, typically unhealthy for everybody, right? And, like, certain people have different sensitivities and stuff like that. But I think typically, even if you don't know what you're predisposed to, if you just work really hard on, like, being the healthiest, best version of yourself, like, that's going to do way more for you than, like, understanding
what genes you have.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, like, you don't even need to get super sciencey about it. Like, just be healthy.
One thing about life, like, from my perspective, is it's not like I've never been through hard things. It's not like bad things have never happened to me. But ever since I was a little kid, I just have had this attitude, and I don't know where it came from. I was just kind of born with it, where I always assume that things are going to work out for me.
Like, that's great.
And it sucks because I can't just translate it to people. Like, my sister is only 16 months older than me, and she would ask me and my friend at the time, her and our other friend would ask me and our other friend, how do you guys do so well in school? Like, how do you guys do so well on tests? Like,
because you just expect that you're going to, right?
And we were both trying to explain this to them. We were like, listen, we just don't worry about it. And they were just like, how do you just not worry about it? It's hard to believe.
And I think we talked about this on a show with Captain before. I don't know. Maybe you were there. Maybe you weren't. I think you were, though. But, like, we all know that person, right? Like, when you're talking about, like, the law of attraction or, like, manifesting, we all know that person that is, like, lovely, just like super positive, they're super friendly, and it's like, wow, she really has everything going for her. Like, she's smart, she's pretty,
thank you,
she's friendly. But you know what I mean, like that. And it's like, wow, like, good things just happen to her. Like, this is like, how?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, maybe it's because she's expecting that and is just drawing those things in. And we also all know that person that is super negative, is like, everything bad always happens to me.
Life is, like, against me.
Yeah, it is. Because you're calling that in actively every single day.
That's why I think the best thing people can do for themselves, for their state of mind, which helped me a lot earlier this year, was to just tell themselves, life is good. Not even like your own life, but the world, the universe, life is a good thing.
It's simple.
603-283-6160. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
USA News Update. According to a report from NBC News, there's discussions underway regarding a potential 3-day pause in the Israel-Hamas conflict. But Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's former chief of staff, Yoav Horowitz, thinks it's a bad idea.
If we keep on pausing and allowing them to replenish, it's another 2 weeks.
Tonight, former President Trump scheduled to host a rally, while some GOP presidential contenders might seize the opportunity during tonight's debate to attribute last night's election losses to him.
Candidates have been pointing fingers at Trump for the Republicans' less-than-stellar performance. Ohio is now the 24th state to legalize recreational marijuana. Adults 21 and over to purchase and possess up to 2.5 ounces. While it was successfully passed, issue 2 is state law, not a constitutional amendment, which means the state legislature can still adjust or even repeal it. Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Number for you to call, that's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And I wanted to take a second to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? I am. You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. BitRefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. What about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's Dash.org. The other thing I want to tell you about that's supporting this show is the AMPS program. AMPS stands for Amplify, Market, Promote, and Support. That's amps.freetalklive.com is where you can go to learn more. And I would like to thank Robert Haley, who's a silver level member of our AMPS program. Thank you so much, Robert, for supporting us. That means that he's giving at least $5 a month to be a supporter of the show, and we really appreciate it. You can learn more and help support us like Robert at amps.freetalklive.com. In the last segment, we were just kind of going off about something that Tim said, the caller, Tim. So I think we kind of covered that. We're talking about just being positive. Well, unless you guys had anything else you wanted to add about.
I mean, I could go on for like days about that. So
right. I think all of us could talk about it for a while. I think it's important to try and work through the things that you're struggling with in your life. And if you need to consult a psychiatrist or whatever to help you through that, or a psychologist or a therapist, you know, utilize your help.
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, like I think our biggest message there was like you have power over your life, and like the you can make choices to actively make your head a better place to be.
Yeah.
It's a great way to put it. But before that, we were talking about this article from Reason.com. Is that what it is? Yeah, com. It says, yes, anti-Israel protests are free speech. It says that a group of, what were they? It says, it, just some college students penned a guest essay in the New York Times, and they were arguing that pro-Palestine activity and protests on college campuses are not protected under the First Amendment. They're not free speech, and that universities have a, quote, moral responsibility to combat it. They say, this person, Gabriel Diamond, oh, it's the whole group. Gabriel Diamond, Talia Dror, and Julian Letterman, students at Yale, Cornell, and Brown, respectively, said free speech, open debate, and heterodox views lie at the core of academic life. They are fundamental to educating future leaders to think and act morally. The reality on some college campuses today is the opposite. Open intimidation of Jewish students. Mob harassment must not be confused with free speech. And, I mean, if something like that is going on, like people are going up to and intimidating and mob harassing somebody just because they're Jewish, that's wrong.
That's
absolutely
crazy.
Yeah, that would be a little harsh on these people who are being harassed. You know, it's not appropriate to harass somebody.
No. So what are they saying? These are, like, pro-Palestine people, or is this something else?
No, these are pro-Israel people, and they're saying that the pro-Palestine activity on college campuses is not legitimate free speech, and I think that they're wrong. Obviously, harassing someone is a different thing than doing a protest with your displaying your opinions. It says, the authors point out several examples of clearly unprotected speech that have unfolded in recent weeks, such as online posts made by a Cornell student who threatened to shoot up a kosher dining hall, as well as several instances of physical violence against Jewish students. And those are obviously not protected free speech, clearly, like is what the author is saying.
Yeah, that's kind of wild because I don't know how, like, all of that. I'm going to make an assumption about this person. Typically, if you're going to Cornell, you're probably a liberal. but it's just so crazy how, like, a lot of these, like, hyper left-leaning people have came, like, full circle. Like, they're I don't know. It's just like they have
principles.
Yeah, it's just like you went so far in wokeness. Like, they do the same thing with race, right? Where it's like they are, like, so anti-racist, quote unquote, that they become racist.
Yeah, they start saying, "Oh,
you
know, we gotta protect certain groups of people."
They're like, "Well, they don't have access to resources, and they're really dumb, and like all this stuff." And it's like how is that? Like, that's like literally like a racist comment.
It's,
like,
it's
what?
Racism in reverse. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, it's like, how did we just like go so far in the other direction?
I personally wouldn't want myself and everyone of the same race as me to be spoken about the way Sarah talks about New Mexicans by these woke people who act like they're like helping you. But taking a break from the story, I'm going to go to David in New Mexico. David, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I heard you beating up on the cops again today, so I thought I'd give you another technique that works for me at least. When I've told you stories in the past. I've been arrested on multiple occasions wrongly by cops. So I've been mistreated as much as or more than most people, but what I still find works, aside from the last time I told you, if I get the mindset and I start treating them like I'm not their I'm not a general or even a colonel level, but you know, like one rank above them. If they're a private, I might be their sergeant or whatever, and so that works. But another thing I do is when I catch them doing not what I would like them to do or behaving in a way that they shouldn't be behaving, in my opinion, or whatever. What I say is along the lines of, you know, hey, I and the rest of us, we need you to be on our side. Okay. So please stop doing this, or you might find it better if instead of doing that, you do this and this.
Does that really work?
You're your own person. Yeah, it works. I catch them, even whether immediately or usually the most fun ones are, you know, days later, weeks later, months later, I'll catch them acting in ways that I suggested would be helpful from my point of view, and actually catch them doing that.
Huh, that's interesting.
You're like breaking into their programming.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
psychological
training or something. Well, they are kind of, I usually don't like to like generalize people, but I guess I will in this case. But, like, most cops are like herd animals. Right? So it sounds like that's what David's kind of doing is like, you know, I'm going to uprank you. And since they're kind of just not brainless, because that's a little meaner than I want to be, but.
See if this is helpful. There are ones that are, and I can't think of a better word, so incorrigible ones. You're not going to get through to them. They're just going to keep, you know, being themselves, being how they're being. But they're the minority from what I see. The majority of them, it's like they're just going along with how we've always done things, and they're not really on board with it. They're just doing it because that's how they've been told how to do it. That's how they've been shown how to do it. And then somebody comes along and says, you know, hey, could you do this? We really need you to be working with us instead of with them. And if I need to, I'll describe who they are. And it's like, well, they're not saying this, but it looks like they're thinking, yeah, I never thought about that. But, yeah, you're right. Yeah, and, yeah, that probably would be better. That would be easier. And then I catch them doing it.
That's interesting. I'm actually like kind of surprised that works. I'm not surprised by you like upranking them, like acting like you have more authority over them. That to me like makes a lot of sense. But the like psychology behind the like suggestion based model, it's interesting, and I'm surprised that actually works.
Thank you for the call, David. And I do like that idea. I feel like I wouldn't be as good at it because, like, most men, it doesn't matter if they're a cop or not. They're not just going to accept my authority over them.
And
I've just learned how to work around that with, like, anytime I've had to, like, tell a man what to do. Obviously, I'm not saying every man either. It's, like, most. But I think it's really interesting that, and if you have the ability to do that, you should try it. I always wonder how seriously do cops take things whenever you say something that makes, like, a lot of sense. Like, how deep do they think about it? Because, like, Ian is in jail right now, and there's this one guard that a lot of people don't like. Ian hasn't had any specific problem with him or anything, but he was telling me the story that this guard that a lot of people don't like, he tries to enforce all these rules that the other guards don't enforce. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's technically the rule, but the other guards never enforce it, only this one. And this guy was telling him, like, hey, man, you know, like, you're doing all this stuff you don't have to be doing. Like, what made you get this job doing? And the cop tried to say, hey, man, no, seriously, I'm like, on you guys' side. I'm not the one keeping you guys in here. Can you believe it?
What?
He said he's not the one keeping you guys. He literally is the same person that has to tell him to lock up.
Yes.
How can you say those words out loud and not think, wait, what am I talking about?
Yeah, it's like you're literally the guard. Like, your job is to make sure these people don't escape.
It's crazy. And it's silly. And I just wonder.
Yeah, the cognitive dissonance there is. No, they must not, because they're like, well, you know, I'm not the. They're like placing, and that's what cops do a lot. They'll like pass the blame. So I think a lot of people, like, not even
you're
just
doing
cops.
This.
I think a lot of people do that, where it's like, you know, I'm doing something unethical, but I can't confront my brain with that, because that's going to be like way too much. So really, you know, I am holding you hostage here. But we're going to pass the blame to the judge or the jury, because they're the ones that convicted you guilty, and, you know, some other cop brought you here, so they're more at fault.
Right.
Even though I have a gun and I'll shoot you if you try to leave.
Right. Well, that's a really interesting subject. I kind of forgot that David had talked about that before, but maybe more people listening will try to utilize that. I think it's really interesting.
It's definitely a peaceful method, which I appreciate.
But going back to this story about, he was just talking about how some people were posting in Cornell, or no, this one guy was posting in Cornell saying he was going going to shoot up a kosher dining hall, and there were other instances of physical violence against Jewish students. It says, however, many of the other examples the authors single out are blatantly First Amendment protected expression. Quote, masked students have chanted slogans such as "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," which many view as a call for the destruction of Israel. Others have shouted, "There is only one solution, Intifada revolution." They write, additionally, Diamond, Drower, and Lederman noted several examples of professors who made offensive statements about the terrorist attack, lamenting that, to the best of our knowledge, none of these professors have received meaningful discipline, much less dismissal. But despite their claimed commitments, the authors make a plain-faced call for censorship by invoking university speech codes. Quote, the codes of ethics of universities across the country condemn intimidation and hold students and faculty to standards of dignity and respect for others. Campuses are at a crossroads. The leadership can either enforce these ethics or these places of learning will succumb to mob rule by their most radical voices, they write. Simply affirming that taunts and intimidation should have no place on campus isn't enough. Professors violating these rules should be disciplined or dismissed. Student groups that incite or justify violence should not be given university funds to conduct activity on campus. I kind of hate that they're throwing all these things in together. Like, they're acting like inciting or justifying violence is the same exact thing as just saying, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Yeah.
Like, your speech isn't the same thing as actual violence.
I agree with that. Yeah, your speech is definitely not violence. It's also, you know, threats. Threats are different than actual violence, too.
Yeah, threats are different. If you're threatening to do something and it's believable that you could actually act on it, then that's not protected speech, which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
It says, while universities should step in and punish students who actually break the law, like those who mount violent threats or engage in a heckler's veto to prevent other students from speaking, not to mention those who engage in actual physical violence, the authors are advocating for sweeping censorship of offensive anti-Israel speech while implying it isn't really free speech at all. Speech is protected unless it falls into one of the narrow categories of unprotected speech. Zach Greenberg, an attorney at the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, a First Amendment nonprofit, tells Reason. Greenberg adds that a protest chant like "From the River to the Sea" would be a political slogan. It's not specific. It's not targeted. It's not directly threatening any individual people with violence. So it would be protected by free speech. And I think it's crazy this guy understands this, but most of Congress still voted to censure that lady for the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's crazy that this has to be explained.
Yeah.
It is. He goes on, to be able to think freely, you have to be able to offend others, to discover our own views and to challenge the status quo. And it's hard to do that without offending others or maybe potentially offending others. Students shouldn't have to risk their educational careers walking on eggshells by censoring themselves at universities that are seeking to punish offensive speech. Even though pro-Palestine activism on college campuses has frequently involved inflammatory rhetoric and even open celebration of Hamas's terrorism, that's pretty terrible, This speech is clearly protected by the First Amendment. While moral outrage against this speech is more than justified, calls for universities to stifle it are contrary to the values of free speech, open debate, and heterodox views. The authors say that they hold dear, which is how they opened it up. So, yeah, the other thing is, it's not like these college campuses are actually private companies. Like,
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with a private company deciding...
Or a private university.
Yeah, university deciding that they are going to not allow some kind of certain thing, and, well, if you applied, you agreed to that. These universities are at least partially funded by the public, and I don't think if you receive a dollar in public funding, you should be able to do things like tell people what they can and can't say, but they do it every day. It's crazy. That's all from that. We talked a lot about Palestine tonight, but we do have some good news. This is from the AP, so apnews.com. Ohio votes to legalize marijuana for adult recreational use, becoming the 24th state to do so. 24 is, I mean, almost half. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Surprised it's not more.
Says, Ohio voters approved a measure legalizing recreational marijuana on Tuesday, defying Republican legislative leaders who had failed to pass the proposed law. And what's that's kind of what's interesting about this to me. It wasn't just a law was put in and then the reps voted for it and now it's law. It was the legislative session that had just passed, I guess they didn't want to pass it. We'll get into it, but they didn't pass it, and then the citizens got to override that somehow?
I think so. I think that's what I was saying. To me, this is really exciting because I think cannabis is one of these things that's largely misunderstood. I think we've had one of our hosts, Daryl W. Perry, once said, regulate marijuana like tomatoes, and I tend to agree with that. I don't think it's a dangerous drug like heroin or cocaine or methamphetamine. I think it's a class in and of itself. I don't think it's very dangerous. I think cannabis does have spiritual uses as well as a sacrament for most people. Well, maybe not most people, but some people. So to keep it as a criminal act, possess a plant that we can just easily grow in our yard is such a stupid idea.
It is so stupid, and it does nothing but ruin people's lives.
Yeah.
It says the passage of Issue 2, which is, I guess, what the law is called.
Yeah.
Makes Ohio the 24th state to allow adult cannabis use for non-medical purposes. Quote, marijuana is no longer a controversial issue, said Tom Herron, spokesman for the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. That's
Yeah, I'm not into that either. I don't think marijuana should regulate like alcohol.
We should also unregulate alcohol.
I wish it was, yeah, right.
Like, I should be able to have a distillery in my house if I want to and make moonshine.
Right.
Nikki Moonshine?
Yeah, exactly.
I wish that he was the spokesman of the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Tomatoes. Somebody
yeah.
should create
right.
that.
Yeah, we should.
Ohioans demonstrated this by passing State Issue 2 in a landslide. Ohioans are being extremely clear on the future they want for our state. Adult use marijuana, legal and regulated, unquote. But, I mean, it is what they voted for. It says, the new law will allow adults 21 and over to buy and possess up to 2.5 ounces of cannabis and to grow plants at home.
Wow. That's really nice.
A 10% tax will be imposed on purchases. Not as nice. To be spent on administrative costs, addiction treatment, which I feel like has nothing to do with marijuana, right?
Treatment?
Yeah.
Are they saying that they're going to use marijuana for addiction treatment?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're saying that that's what the tax will go to, but that could
that's
be
stupid.
Part of
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I doubt they're going to do that, but I've been saying this for a long time, that we should stop using methadone for drug treatment and start using weed.
Sounds a lot safer.
You know what I mean?
I think you're right.
I think a lot of people, and a lot of the patients, I'm sure, would be a lot happier.
Actually, I heard this terrible thing. I don't have the story in front of me, but I guess Florida was trying to do that, like allow that to be an option for companies.
Yeah, using medical marijuana
in
treatment, yeah.
And what's his name?
Oh, DeSantis.
Yeah, DeSantis shut it down.
Deceptive DeSantis.
Yep.
Yeah.
He shut that down. He's not allowing businesses to use marijuana to treat their patients. And
forget
what?
That, dude.
Oh my gosh, DeSantis did something against freedom?
Yeah, that's extremely against freedom.
The best guy ever.
Most people don't get that. I'm not surprised he's doing things against freedom.
No, he's not for freedom, so that's why.
No, not a freed man.
So this 10% tax will be used on purchases and spent on administrative costs, addiction treatment, municipalities with dispensaries, and social equity and jobs programs supporting the industry itself, which is so stupid. Like, the marijuana industry needs to be supported. Like, it wouldn't do well on its own. Like, people don't want to buy
it marijuana. It was flourishing when it was illegal, so
right.
I'm sure, like, removing that will, you know, I don't think it needs any help.
Yeah,
people like pot.
People tend to grow pot. People like it. If you keep it as a criminal act to grow it or use it, they're going to do it underground.
Yeah.
They're going to find ways to do it.
And they're going to make a lot of money doing it.
Absolutely.
The election's outcome represents a blow to GOP lawmakers, Republican Mike DeWine, and business and manufacturing organizations concerned about its impact on workplace and traffic safety.
What? But, oh, my gosh.
I mean, I don't get that, because if you're a business, you can still say, personally, our employees are not going to, they're going to need to be tested. So.
Yeah, you can still drug test people, even for legal stuff.
Says, but as a citizen-initiated statute, the law is subject to change. Republicans who remain opposed to it in the legislature are free to make tweaks to the law or even repeal it, though the political stakes are higher now that the voters have approved it. And in my opinion, I feel like what's going to happen is they're going to tweak it to make it a little, like, crappier.
Yeah, well, that's what they do, right?
But they probably won't repeal it.
That's politics.
Yep. Just add in something.
They take good things and they make it bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Much.
Politics.
Well, I'll probably just add something in that's like, oh yeah, and also we're gonna fund the police more or some crap like that. Among concerns raised by opponents that lawmakers may revisit is the measure's tax structure, which earmarks none of the earnings for Ohio counties that administer social services programs directed at drug use, addiction, and other issues that could rise due to issue 2's passage, which, I don't know, is that proven? Like, in Colorado, have we seen other drug use skyrocket because marijuana's been legal for so long?
No,
I don't know.
I doubt it. It probably went down.
Probably. That's what I would guess.
You know what I mean? You know how many people can probably, like, even get off their, like, medications?
Hmm.
Just if they can smoke pot? You know what I mean? Like...
It says, the fight is not over. Smart approaches to marijuana action, President Kevin Sabet had said in a statement. He called on state lawmakers to eliminate provisions of Issue 2 that would allow for commercial sales, advertising, and production at a minimum. Republican Ohio Senate President Matt Huffman said lawmakers may also reconsider questionable language regarding limits on THC, the compound that gives marijuana its high. Well, that's all we have for tonight. freetalklive.com is where you can go to get more from us. Thank you for listening. Thanks for calling in. Peace.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.